This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra.
Accidents happen, and when they do to your vehicle, you want the job done right. For that, you need two things, the right person and the right equipment. Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra has both. Body shop manager and Carlinville resident Jeremy Gons has certified technicians and the latest equipment like a frame straightening rack, sandblasting booth, a 100 alignment machine, and downdraft bake finish paint booth to give you a factory finish. They can paint your bumper, fix the deer hitch, or even do color spray in blenders. And they provide loaner cars. Accidents happen. Let Jerry and the crew at Smokey Jennings handle it for you. Getting the job done right since 1946.
Next time you're looking for a good deal on farm equipment, make sure you get a good deal on the financing, too. You can by asking for AgDirect at your ag equipment dealer. Along with attractive financing rates, AgDirect offers ag-friendly financing terms, including financing from 2 to 7 years and delayed payments for up to 12 months. AgDirect also features an easy application. It takes just minutes, and you can get a credit decision back in minutes, too. That means you can make the deal on the spot without having to call back or make a return visit. See for yourself. When you want to buy, lease, or refinance farm equipment, be sure to ask your dealer for AgDirect financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. So get a good deal on your equipment financing with AgDirect, available only at your ag equipment dealer. Check our competitive interest rates at agdirect.com. Ask your dealer for simple, fast, and flexible financing. Ask for AgDirect.
It's coming up on 10 minutes after 6 on this Thursday morning. The DTN general opening call for later today. Expect corn to open 14 to 16 cents higher, beans 14 to 16 cents higher, and wheat about a dime higher. The overnight crude oil market 31 cents higher at 102.98. Brent crude 86 cents higher at 118.83. The June gold contract $1.10 higher at $1,640.70, while the U.S. dollar index 0.025 higher at 79.614. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, May wheat closed at 6.10¾, down 4¾. July wheat closed at 6.15¾, down 4½. September wheat closed at 6.31¾, down 3. May corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 6.01¾, down 15. July corn closed at 5.94, down 13¼. September corn closed at 5.39¾, down 1¾. May soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 14.07¾, down 18. July beans closed at 14.13½, down 18. August beans closed at 14.02, and that was down 17¼. May soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 390.60, down 32. July meal closed at 393.90, down 34. August meal closed at 388.90, down 20. May soybean oil yesterday closed at 55.19, down 57. July oil closed at 55.60, down 56. August oil closed at 55.79, down 55. May oats on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 320¾, unchanged. July oats closed at 322¾, down 3/4. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
This is Kent McFarland with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Grain Market News Report. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Wednesday afternoon. Technical selling at the Board of Trade sent grain prices lower. Soybeans moved lower despite the sale of 120,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans to China. Central Illinois grain deals quoted their corn bids 11 to 15 cents lower, 5.95 to 6.11. Soybeans were 16 to 18 cents lower, at 13.83 to 13.95. Corn bids in southern Illinois were down 13 to 16 cents at 6.03 to 6.26. Soybeans were 16 to 19 cents lower at 1394 to 1414. Wheat bids were down 1 to 5 cents at 590 to 611. St. Louis area elevators and mills reported corn bids 13 to 16 cents lower, ranging from 603 to 608. Soybeans were down 16 to 19 cents at 1396 to 1409, and wheat was down 1 to 4 cents at $6 to 610. Illinois River Barge loading elevators quoted their corn bids 15 to 17 cents lower at 6.12 to 6.17. Soybeans were 17 to 19 cents lower at 14.10 to 14.14. And new crop wheat was down 4 to 5 cents at 5.97 to 6.06. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevator froze their corn bids 15 cents lower at 6.28 to 6.30. These elevators dropped their soybean prices 18 cents with quotations at 14.28 to 14.31. Wheat ended 4 cents lower at 6.33 to 6.34. And Milo was down 15 cents at 5.81 to 5.82. This is Kim McFarland reporting for WSMI.
And on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, May hogs closed at 87.25, down 2.55. June hogs closed at 87.35, down 2.42. July hogs closed at 88.37, down 2.02. April cattle on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at 120.27, down 1.32. June cattle closed at 114.82, down $1.75. August cattle closed at 118.15, down $1.50. April feeder cattle on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at 151.40, up a nickel. May feeders closed at 152.02, down 110. And August feeders closed at 155.52, that was down $1.17. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Wednesday, April 18th. For the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, barrels, and gilts closed 37 cents higher. Carcass-based price range, 70 to 83, weighted average, 79.89. Hogs purchased Illinois today, 11,600. Illinois direct brown gilt trade steady, 53 to 56, and Illinois direct slaughter sow steady. U.S. 1s to 3s, under 400 pounds, and 400 to 450 pounds, 44 to 48. 450 to 550 pounds, 46 to 50. Over 550 pounds at 48 to 51. Today's estimated receipts, 900, and Tuesday's actuals, 1150. Pork carcass cut out, 76.53, and that is down 22 cents. Estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection, hogs for today, 418,000. Last week, 417,000. A year ago, 414,000. Week to date, 1,244,000. Cattle for today, 113,000. Last week, 114,000. A year ago, 126,000. And week to date, 347,000. Boxed beef cutout values were higher on moderate demand and light to moderate offerings. Total movement today, 166 fab loads with 74 trim. Choice at 185.76, that is up $2.29. Select at 183.84, and that is up $1.68. At the NAB Producers Auction over at Shelbyville, 735 heads sold Tuesday. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $1 to $1.50 higher, Holstein steers steady, slaughter cows 1 to 2 higher, slaughter bulls steady to $1 lower, feeder cattle mostly 3 to 4 lower. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 124 and a quarter to 127. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 118 to 124 and a half. Holstein steers, choice 2s to 3s, 114 to 119. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 105 and a quarter to 113.75. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 124 to 126 and a half. Select and choice 2s and 3s range from 118 to 124. Slaughter cows, breaking type 92.5 to 97. Boning type cows 83 to 90.5. And lean cows 73 to 77. With slaughter bulls, your grade ones at 90.5 to 95.5. At the Greenville Livestock Auction, estimated receipts this morning 718. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers are trading steady to $1 higher with Holstein steers not tested early. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 123.5 to 125. Select and choice 2s and 3s, 118 to 123. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s, and 123 to 125. And select and choice 2s and 3s, 117 to 123. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service. Returning you back to WSMI.
Also on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, April Class 3 milk closed at 15.74, down 4. For May, 14.68, down 15. For June, 14.45, down 26. April butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at 143 and a quarter, down a quarter. For May, 141 and three quarter, down one and a quarter. And for June, 144 and a quarter, that was down a quarter. Non-fat dry milk on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for April closed at 124 unchanged. For May, 122 and three-quarter, down three-quarter. And for June, 121 and three-quarter, down one and three-quarter. Spot prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, 141 and a quarter, down 1 1/4. For block cheese, $1.50, up a penny. And for barrel cheese, 146, that was unchanged. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for April, $6.12. For May, $6.02. Corn delivered to Scottville for April, $6.04. And for May, $5.94. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for April, $13.93. And for May, $14. And wheat delivered to Scottville for April, $5.93. For more information or to confirm the bids, you can call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening prices, corn at Greenfield once again, $6.12. Corn at Scottville, $6.04. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $13.93. Wheat at Scottville, $5.93. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
M&M Service Company is now treating soybeans with the seed treatments to help you get the highest yield and best stand possible. Treating soybeans is the most effective way to protect your soybean stand against seedling diseases and insects while also providing early vigor. M&M also offers inoculate treatments. Your soybean crop is worth more today than ever before, and it makes sense to protect and enhance it with a seed treatment from M&M Service. Ask your crop specialist about the advantages of having your soybeans treated today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Partly cloudy skies across mid-Illinois today. Windy, high temperatures in the upper 70s. We will have south winds gusting to 30 miles per hour. Tonight becoming cloudy with the chance of showers, low temperatures in the mid-50s. Tomorrow Friday, cloudy and cooler with showers likely, the high in the low 60s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday: partly cloudy skies, low temperatures in the mid-40s, high temperatures in the mid-60s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have south winds at 6 miles per hour, the barometric pressure steady, partly cloudy skies, 50 degrees on this Thursday morning. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company and by Carlinville Truck Equipment. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Next time you find a good deal on farm equipment, make sure you get a good deal on the financing, too. Because right now you can get fixed rates as low as 3.25% from AgDirect at your ag equipment dealer. That's 3.25%. AgDirect features easy applications and fast credit decisions, too. See for yourself. Ask your farm equipment dealer for AgDirect financing. Subject to approval, restrictions may apply. Rates may change. Contact your local AgDirect dealer for details.
Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. On Wednesday, we talked to Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. With the weather allowing for early corn planting compared to previous years, it also may allow for early wheat cutting. He commented on how that may affect the wheat trade.
Well, yeah, it's interesting you bring that up. There was some concern. We did see the good to excellent ratings increase in the winter wheat, and that was expected. We were at 64% good to excellent yesterday versus 61% last week. There was a slight decline in the soft red wheat ratings, particularly in Illinois, Kentucky, and I think it could be as a result of some of the freezes that we saw last week. But it's still very difficult to determine what kind of a yield impact that's going to have on things. And I think it's a little too early to say. And also, you were contending with the fact that the good to excellent ratings were much higher than we've seen in the past. So when they're already at lofty levels, I don't think the market's going to pay too much attention to that. I think the more interesting fact on the back end of that is, if you can get this wheat out in good fashion, how many more double crop soybeans could we plant this year in the U.S.? And it's very difficult to put a pinpoint on how much more supply that could be. A lot of people suggest that could be up to between 2 and 3 million acres. But what's hard about that is the USDA usually accounts for the double crop soybeans in the bean yield. They're not going to go and increase the actual acres. They adjust that yield as they get progress further along into the season until they know exactly how many acres could be double crop. Because a lot of times some of those farmers don't decide that until the day comes. And as long as we can get some decent rains in some of those plain states where they can double crop those soybeans off of wheat, I think you're going to see a huge flux in acres there on double crop soybeans with the prices where they're at.
A lot of guys, I don't think they decide whether or not they're going to double crop beans until they're in the combine thrashing wheat.
That's right. And with, you know, high input costs the way they are, a lot of guys aren't going to, you know, lay their neck on the line right now to go out and, you know, get everything purchased. But I guarantee they will be ready if they can get it in the ground and think they can get a decent yield. It'll be out there.
One thing I'm curious about, I don't know if you're the person to ask, I'm going to ask you anyway, as early as they may get the wheat crop out, is it possible they could double crop corn?
I think it's possible in some areas, but I don't know, you know, by that time you wonder if it's going to pencil. I mean, if we don't get into a weather situation, you'll continue to see this new crop contract leak out. There's really not a big reason to buy this thing until, again, you get into a weather situation. If we never get into that situation and China doesn't step up to buy, you know, if we breach the $6 mark on the old crop contracts, you know, it's going to be difficult to pencil that. If the beans can stay supportive, they still fundamentally are much tighter going into next year. I think it'll, you know, the first resort could be the beans, especially if it's dry. Beans are going to be more resilient to hang up on or to hold up against that dry pressure than the corn would be. So I think it's, you know, hard to say at this point. I do think it's possible, but I still think you're looking at probably more beans rather than the corn.
And that was Sam Hudson of Water Street Solutions. Earlier this week, we talked to Tricia Braid of the Illinois Corn Marketing Board. One thing she commented on is the passage of legislation to upgrade locks and dams on the Mississippi River.
That's right. And locks and dams, as you said, have been discussed seemingly forever. The legislation has been put in place years ago. The Water Resources Development Act passed, oh, I don't even remember now, several years ago, maybe as far back as 2007 even. But what hasn't happened is the funding has not been put in place to actually make the improvements on the waterways that Congress deemed necessary. And that's challenging in any year, but it's particularly challenging in a year like we're experiencing now, where the budget in Washington, D.C. is constantly at the top of the news cycle and it's on the top of everyone's mind, as it should be, rightfully so. But how do you get enough people convinced that improving infrastructure is something that helps us all as a nation? It's not specific to farmers. It's not specific to marketers, but it really impacts the entire economy as a whole. So we'll be looking at really finding those message points that resonate with people around the country and rallying behind locks and dams as something that's a national interest rather than just a regional one.
The legislation you mentioned that has been passed now, once passed, I mean, it's passed. I mean, they don't have to go back and vote on it again. All that the question remains is the funding, right?
Correct. So it's just the getting the money to the jobs. The work has been authorized. It's just that the money hasn't been appropriated. And that's a pretty common thing to happen in Congress, not just on this topic, but many. So a piece of legislation will pass that authorizes a project, and then it's just a matter of getting the budget lines to match up, and that's where the struggle has been. Also, frankly, the work that has been being done in certain areas, and in particular a great example is on the Ohio River down at Olmsted. Because of the dysfunctionality, for lack of a better term, on how that project is going, all the money that has been appropriated is locked up in that one project, and it's years over budget, it's years over its projected finish date, and until the system can be changed to take a more effective approach to actually implementing the work, we're stuck anyway. So it's an issue that must be addressed. The Panama Canal third shipping lane will be finished in 2014. That's the 100th anniversary of the Panama Canal, and once that third shipping lane is in order and up and running, it really puts the United States at a competitive disadvantage with regard to world trade. Basically, as the world shipping fleet can move through that third shipping lane, we're stuck here with a crumbling system and ports of entry that can't accommodate the larger vessels we just really need to get our good game on and get things rolling.
That was Tricia Braid of the Illinois Corn Marketing Board. The We Care initiative is a pork checkoff standard. Spokesperson Cindy Cunningham says We Care helps tell the producer's story.
We know pork producers have a long-standing commitment to doing what's right. And we need to tell that story both within agriculture, but also to our customers, our consumers, and those who may be interested in how pork is raised today. The We Care initiative does just that. Pork producers care every day about how they raise the animals on their farm, how they care for the environment, how they care for the community around them, and making sure that they're doing what's right every day.
The Pork Checkoff takes a comprehensive approach in demonstrating the We Care program. This effort communicates the work seen on the farm.
We're working to get that story out through programs like Operation Main Street, where producers go to community and civic organizations to talk about modern pork production. We're working with general media, trying to help our consumers and our customers understand modern pork production. Really, it's a challenge to communicate what we do, because pork producers are so committed to doing the right thing. It just simply seems to make sense. But we're trying to communicate that message out and help others outside of agriculture understand that they can count on pork as a safe, wholesome product, and that they can count on their pork producers because they care every day in how they raise that product.
For more information, you can go to www.pork.org. Over the last several years, feed ingredient markets have been extremely volatile, which has caused feed ingredients to increase in price. Many producers have reassessed their options due to this volatility, and while they have been able to adapt for the most part, they have to adjust their management as well. Here's Ryan Cooney.
Producers need to understand the differences and make an apples-to-apples comparison based on the nutrients in those feed ingredients. Then there are all the flowability, storage, and palatability aspects that need to be managed.
That's why Mr. Cooney created FeedPail.com. The website is a tool that helps producers sort feed ingredients.
With all the additional feed ingredients producers are looking at, it not only takes more time to manage those ingredients, but it also takes a lot more time to research what's available and what pricing is. That's where FeedPail.com comes in. It basically helps producers source feed ingredients and gives them that information at their fingertips.
The website is designed to connect buyers and sellers of bulk feed ingredients, no bags of any kind, and Mr. Cooney says there's no cost to buy or sell. Sellers can only list the straight ingredients, he says, so there are no mixes. Anyone looking to sell feed ingredients can go on that site, list what they have available and the price they want for it. Buyers then have an easy way to see what's available for what cost. Mr. Cooney says the biggest benefit for producers will be how fast and easy it is to get the information they need.
Producers will have the pricing information at their fingertips, and that'll help not only make pricing easier when they go to buy, but it'll also help them make better inventory and formulation decisions based on how prices are changing. Users will also receive newsletters with pricing updates.
For a free account, buyers and sellers can sign up at www.feedpail.com. Some other notes in the news this morning. A coalition of groups sent a letter to the Food and Drug Administration Tuesday opposing a proposal by manufacturers to call high fructose corn syrup corn sugar instead. The coalition says consumers are against the name change by 100 to 1. The Corn Refiners Association petitioned the FDA in 2010 to allow corn sugar as an alternate name to high fructose corn syrup in mandatory ingredient lists on food packages. After falling to a low of $3.75 a gallon in the past week, Springfield area gasoline prices popped back up to $4 a gallon at many stations Monday and Tuesday. Average costs in other states were Hawaii at $4.61 a gallon, Alaska at $4.37, California at $4.22, Connecticut at $4.17, and Oregon at $4.08. And once again, the DTN general opening call for later today. Expect corn to open 14 to 16 higher, beans 14 to 16 higher, and wheat about a dime higher. The overnight crude oil market 31 cents higher at 102.98. Brent crude 86 cents higher at 118.83. The June gold contract $1.10 higher at $1,640.70, while the U.S. dollar index 0.025 higher at 79.614. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI, WSMI FM 106, beginning with the opening commodity markets this morning at 9:32. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.